I am so delighted to be with you guys this morning. You don't know how much. I was supposed to be here with you in May, right? May? And a little baby got in the way, and I was sick for a few months. So I feel like this is a long time coming. And this is the first time I've worshipped in your sanctuary here, and to be present with you in that time. As I was sitting there, I was looking at this cross. And I don't know if this is found somewhere, if someone made this, but it is breathtaking. It is the essence of creative expression. I've never seen anything like that before. That kind of thing strikes me, it catches me. That's kind of where my heart is as someone who is a somewhat creative person. You know, my favorite part of the day is right before dark. And this is kind of strange because I love the sun and I don't like the sun to go away. So winter, not my favorite time. And yet that sunset, but not quite sunset moment, you know, when the golden light is just on the edge of the trees and it's not quite dark yet, but you're getting that kind of hazy fog. There's just something about it that is so magical. And I remember so many times as a teenager, a college student, or even in my early 20s, when I would be driving home at that time of the day and just would be overwhelmed with this sense of longing. I longed to create something. I longed to write a song or a poem or a short story that would somehow take that delicious creative passion I was feeling inside of me and put it into some tangible form. And sometimes I'd get home and I'd race to my room and I'd grab my journal and my pen and nothing. It just was impossible to take that feeling inside and put it into words sometimes. It was elusive. I couldn't capture it. And sometimes in those dusky moments, I would find myself longing for something else. I was longing for love, for intimacy, to be a mom or a wife, to have someone to lavish that magical passion on. Because it really is the same thing, right? The desire to create, the desire to love, it's finding expression for this passion that's building up inside of you, creating something real from something that was once only an idea. I think often in our culture, we often try to separate the verb create from the adjective creative. In our minds, somehow we have these are two different things. A creative person has a lot of great, unique ideas, and we kind of put them up on this pedestal, right? They're a creative person. But someone who creates, to create, actually means to take those ideas and put them into tangible form. You have to express them somehow to really be creative. You express them in words or maybe in something physical like a song or a piece of furniture or even just expressing those ideas in a plan. Somehow it has to come out in tangible form. Because creativity without expression is simply bottled up passion. It's like staring at the dying sun with some sort of undirected longing. But our God is the absolute model of creativity. God the Father has an unlimited supply of creative ideas, which through God the Son are expressed and brought into tangible form. And then those ideas are energized into life through God the Spirit. This loving community of God makes its love real, touchable, tangible, alive. God is endlessly creative. You could even call God fertile. The creation never stops. It wasn't a once and done thing. Oh, I created the world and now I don't have to do it ever again. Creating is what God does. It's who God is. Theologian Darby Ray describes God as characterized by relentless compassion and audacious creativity. She suggests that God can bring about restoration from the shards of human tragedy and suffering, the twisted remains of scattered dreams, and the scraps of resistance and rebellion. Have you heard of upcycling? It's where you take trash and you turn it into a work of art or into something useful. You just recycle things in a creative way. And I can almost picture God as the ultimate upcycler. Taking junk and trash and recycling it into beautiful pieces of art. This God can make do with what's on hand. And this is similar to what theologian Monica Coleman describes as making a way where there is no way. She remembers how generations of African American mothers, including her own, were able to provide for their families out of nothing, driven by a passionate love for their children. God's love for God's children drives God to make a way where there is no way. Darby Ray, who I quoted before, she has a wonderful book called Incarnation and Imagination, A Christian Ethic of Ingenuity. And she says that God was, is, and will be ingeniously divine and divinely ingenious, not for the sake of innovation itself, but in order to heal that which is broken, to redirect that which has gotten off course, and to love into new being that which has lost its vitality. God's creative and redemptive work brings all of creation to wholeness and flourishing in relationship with God's community, so that those who are separated are brought near, what is distorted is untwisted, and what is broken is mended and made whole. It's a gorgeous picture, isn't it? God is endlessly creative. This is who God is. So when we see Jesus acting in ways that show what Ray calls scrappy resourcefulness, we really shouldn't be surprised. In the two passages that were read this morning, we see the setup. So the religious leaders come to Jesus and they want to back him into a corner. It's a trap. In the story from John, Jesus is confronted with a woman who's been caught in adultery. So this story, I think, could easily be a model for the church today because we are often confronted with similar situations. It should have been cut and dry, right? The law was pretty clear on what should be done in cases of adultery. It's a death sentence. But there is something in Jesus, this tug of mercy, that prevents him from seeing the situation that way. So he begins to draw in the dirt. And for generations, the church has spent time speculating what Jesus was writing in the dirt. The go-to explanation is he was writing a list of all the sins of all the people who were gathered to convict them, right? I am not so convinced, because that seems like a very important detail. And if that's what he had been doing, I think the gospel writer would have told us that. A number of years ago, a singer-songwriter named Michael Card suggested that Jesus was scribbling in the sand. This is what he said. To this day, we don't have the slightest idea what it was Jesus twice scribbled in the sand. By and large, the commentaries have asked the wrong question throughout the ages. They labor over the content, over what might have been written. They ask what, without ever realizing that the real question is why. It wasn't the content that mattered, but why he did it. Unexpected. Irritating. Creative. Jesus paused the situation. He took a time out. And I imagine that Jesus was praying as he doodled. And I imagine his prayer was probably something like this. Help! See, Hebrews tells us that Jesus was like us in every way. Philippians 2 that says that he gave up all the privileges of being God and became an actual human. Jesus was the expression of God's big idea. It was an idea to create human beings in God's image to be like God. In Jesus, God was saying to the world, here's what it looks like. Let me show you how to be a God-like human being. Jesus, the image of God with skin and bones and muscles and hair, was what it looks like to be a human in the way that God imagined. And so to be fully human and made in the image of God means to be connected to God, in relationship with God, relying on God, inspired by God. God is connection and community. God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus said it this way in John chapter 12. He said, I don't speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me regarding what I should speak and say. I know that his commandment is eternal life, and therefore, whatever I say is just as the Father has said to me. So he admitted, hey, in my humanness, I can't figure this all out on my own. I need to hear what the creative source of the universe has to say. I need to be plugged into God's ingenuity and resourcefulness. So through the Spirit, Jesus was connected to his Father. Through the Spirit, Jesus was able to reach beyond the limits of human minds to an endless creativity. Help. Show me what to do. So when Jesus was backed into a corner, he had access to the great subversive mind. He was connected to the endless energy that took what was impossible and made it possible. Whoever hasn't sinned should throw the first stone. Great answer. And in our other story, when the religious leaders challenged him, should we pay taxes? He was in a no-win situation. But out of God's scrappy resourcefulness, he had an answer to that one too. Give to the emperor what's the emperor's. Give to God what's God's. They didn't know what to do with that. Jesus taught using new and creative imagery, and he turned traditional doctrines on their heads. He saw potential where others only saw decay, and he saw life where others only saw death. The other day, my 91-year-old grandmother and I were comparing notes on fatigue, nausea, body aches. We're having similar life experiences, right? And then she suddenly stopped and she looked at all of us and she declared, "But I just want you to know I'm not pregnant." We reacted like that. It was absurd, right? Until someone else observed that the matriarch of Israel, Sarah, was my grandmother's age when she gave birth to her son. I sat back just astonished, looking at my grandmother's frail body. It's absurd, right? A 9-year-old giving birth to a child? Our creative God sees life where the rest of us only see death. God sees a beginning when we just see an end. Our God reaches down and wakes up a dead child. Our God creates and multiplies food when there isn't enough. Our God makes broken legs run again. Our God imagines new ways of relating to difficult people, new ways of loving our enemies. Our God makes a way where there is no way. Because that's who God is. That's what it means to be God-like. If we are made in the image of that God, then surely, Darby Ray argues, part of what it means to be human is to be imaginers, people of vision who refuse to let others perish. It's not enough to simply engage in ideological games. Good ideas have to be expressed. We need to embody our imaginations. We've got to put flesh on these bones. In the pattern of the ultimate creativity incarnate, Jesus. Jesus knew what it felt like to be tired. He took himself off for quiet times with God's community, away from the crowds, and sometimes those crowds would not leave him alone. Jesus knew what it felt like to be anxious. He cried out to God in the garden, "Please, please find another way." Jesus experienced what it felt like to be at the end of his rope. But he wasn't alone when he was tired and anxious. He was living like human beings were made to live in connection with God's community, in connection to God's creativity and God's energy. And so Jesus gives us hope. We are made in God's image. And we are encouraged to live like Jesus with the help of God's Spirit, so that when we look in the mirror, who we see looks more and more like God. When we feel tired or anxious, when all we see looks impossible, when we're backed into a corner, when we're out of ideas, we have access to the scrappy resourcefulness of God. With Jesus, we can cry out to the Holy Spirit, "Help! Help, Holy Spirit. We are fearful. We are ailing. We are weak. Breathe into our tired living. Help. Help, Holy Spirit. Make a way where there is no way. Open our eyes to see life when we can only see death. Help. Holy Spirit, breathe into these old bones. Give us vigor. Life anew. Amen."